And good morning. Hello, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. If you were secretly hoping that it would rain today, your wish will come true. One thing I want to cover with you, and I want to ask you if you agree with me on this. You really don't have anything to do with your genetic code or your DNA or choosing your parents. You can't choose your grandparents, but you're given a gift of life. Every human being has strengths and they have weaknesses. So you're not responsible for what you're dealt, are you? Now, what you are responsible for is maxing out what you're given. That means trying to live to your full potential. So one thing that I would suggest to you or encourage you to consider, if you do not have the measure of health that you want to have, if you see the writing on the wall and you are not pleased with the direction you're going, then I'm going to suggest to you that you might can try a little bit harder. Maybe you should do the exact opposite of what you're doing right now. I don't know. But I tell you what, your body is far more capable of dealing with situations than what you realize. All right. I want to read a brief story to you. I'll let you decide what you think about it, and this is not my attempt to fill your mind with things it shouldn't be filled with, but rather just to give you different ideas. This came from Choices, Spring 1999. So, this is what, 18 years old? Okay. With colon cancer at age 60, Kenneth Forer, M.D., his medical doctor, he was told by his oncologist that he would probably only live one more year, provided that he started with chemotherapy or radiation immediately. Forer, who was a surgeon, he routinely recommended chemotherapy to other patients. He refused the treatment. At the time of this writing, he is retired at age 83. I would venture a guess, if he lived to be 83, he kind of went a little bit beyond the average lifespan of a man. Forer chose to change his diet to natural, whole foods. He started drinking large amounts of vegetable juices, and he began following the Virginia Livingston Program of Natural Healing. He later became the center's medical director. His wife asked him in 1975, when he was diagnosed with cancer and refused chemotherapy, why he did so. And I'm quoting him. He says, because, and this is his reply, I am the patient now, and I don't have to follow that routine. It never did that much good. I had to keep prescribing it to keep my hospital privileges. Anyway, I find that very, very interesting. Now, I'm going to read another story to you. And let me see if I can take the woman's name out of it. I'm going to take her last name out, if that's okay with you. This is a woman that lives in Washington State. Our family was devastated when my mother-in-law, Myrna, informed us that she had been diagnosed with cancer. It was ovarian cancer that had spread to the lymph glands and then into the lungs. Which, what that means, folks, is that's stage 4 cancer. The doctor said that it was inoperative, meaning they couldn't do surgery, and they told her to get her affairs in order. After a hysterectomy, they said, she would have about 6 months to live. The tumors in her lungs were too numerous to remove. My sister-in-law asked if there was some nutritional approach that might slow the progress of disease. The doctor said there was none. I bought several books on alternative cancer therapies, but I found that either the solutions were too complicated, or the clinics mentioned were geographically removed or too far away to go to, or the methods were too different to interest my mother-in-law. Okay. I prayed as I watched her arrange her estate and begin journeying to see distant old friends to say goodbye. Then one day, I felt prompted to call my father. Curiously, he had been listening to a doctor on the radio who described an herbal remedy with an amazing success rate. The doctor was from California, and the story he told of this herbal remedy, originally it was from a Ojibwa, I'm sure I butchered that, sorry, medicine man from Canada, was remarkable. That's the main point I want you to get, folks. An Indian told him about an herbal remedy that was remarkable. The doctor said he was not allowed to reveal the formula by any other means than video. California laws prohibit sharing cancer remedies that are outside of the traditional AMA recommendations. By releasing the formula in movie form, the doctor felt he was protecting under the constitutional laws, protecting freedom of speech. That's a shame we have to go that far, but that's the way it is. My father noted the telephone number, but had not called me about it, fearing that I would laugh at the suggestion. Immediately, I called the doctor. The remedy was so simple and straightforward that I knew my mother-in-law could at least try it. Boy, I think that was a home run. My sister-in-law and I searched the herbal markets for the ingredients, and Myrna began taking a little of the tea each night. We held our breath. Her doctor was giving her a new hormonal therapy. He hoped it might slow the progress of her disease. But both he and my mother-in-law's cousin, a nurse, assured her it would be wise not to get the hopes up. Yet the weekly x-rays began indicating something they did not expect. Little by little, the tumors in her lungs stabilized, and then they began to diminish. Oh, that makes me happy reading stuff like that. The nursing staff at the doctor's office reacted in awe as week after week the tumors began disappearing and her blood count returned to normal. After several months, one nurse, looking at her x-rays, asked her what her problem was and then told her it could have not been cancer. Only after a double-checking my mother-in-law's chart did the nurse return to apologize. "You were in real trouble," she said. A little more than a year after beginning ESIAC, the doctor called to tell Myrna that she was an official miracle. Her chart showed no indication of cancer in any system. Myrna never told him about the ESIAC T. And the editor of this journal that I'm looking at, he actually called the husband of the wife named Myrna, and this was 5 years later, or a little over 5 years, and said that she was still perfectly healthy. Anyway. Now I'm going on to the next one. I always think I can just talk about things that interest me. Don't you agree with that? Sorry, I should be right on the money. Here we go. Now, whatever I bring up this morning, I can guarantee you I'm not into giving false hope to people. And I'm going to let you decide what you want to do with your body. But I can tell you this. You are going to be faced with a crisis at some time. At some point in your life. Everybody does. Sometimes it's because of all your decisions. And you're probably saying, well, what do you mean by that? Well, would you agree with me that if you pick up the habit of smoking cigarettes and you smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years, there may be some pretty dire consequences On what could those be? Well, let me see. You could have everything from emphysema. You could have like a severe lack of oxygen, COPD, asthma, bronchitis, chronic lung infections, pneumonia. Yeah, I mean, that's not really is that really difficult to consider that if you have smoked cigarettes 4 packs a year that you might, die just a few years earlier than if you had not? Yeah, of course not. So every day is a chance to make a decision. What are you going to do with your body? How do you want to use it? What type of person are you trying to become? What kind of person do you want to become? Is there something that you want to achieve in your life that you haven't achieved? Is there an accomplishment that you're aiming for that you haven't been able to do? Well, you need health to do those, folks. Every time that you make a decision, and it's a good decision, it's either a good or a bad decision. There's not many decisions that are really the middle of the road. But you can pay the price by not making the right decision. So I want to give you information. And you have to decide if you believe what you're told by somebody else, or, you want to forge your own pathway. Let me see if I can find that one about the teenage boy. I thought that really... Okay, here it is right here. This one caught my interest. It came from... here's the story. It's called The Billy Best Story. Beating Cancer with Alternative Medicine by Billy Best and Linda Conti. Sandcastle Memoirs, 2012. Okay. It's real short. Remember, decisions. At the age of 16, Billy Best found out that he had Hodgkin's lymphoma. His Aunt Judy had recently died of cancer. When the doctor told Billy that his cancer would be easily treatable with chemotherapy, he wondered if he was going to be sick from it, as his aunt had been. His uncle had told him it was heartbreaking to watch her go through the treatments, as they were like a poison that burned her up from the inside. I'm quoting the husband there. It's not my words. Which would be worse, Billy wondered, the disease or the treatment? He decided to avoid the chemotherapy, thinking that he'd die from it, and he'd rather avoid the pain and die from the cancer. Billy decided to run from his family in order to take matters into his own hands. Many of the major television networks covered the nationwide search for him by his parents and police. Billy received an outpouring of support from the public, and he started discovering alternative treatments for his cancer from the people he met. I can't make it up. Billy Best is still cancer-free. He used several alternative treatments, including SEACT, and that's the story that I just read about the woman with ovarian cancer that was given just a very short time to live, but lo and behold, she's alive, because she could do that simply. Of course, he also used nutrition and probably dietary regimens to strengthen his immune system. All right. Next bit of research here. This comes from Jonathan Wright, MD. And he reported this story in the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients, July in the year 2000. I realize that is 17 years ago, or coming up on 17 years ago. But I'm certain the information is still true and still accurate. I've always liked reading anything I can get my hands on from Jonathan Wright. I like him. Maria Bell, MD, describes the reversal and the apparent cure of the most common type of cervical cancer in a significant portion of cases. In a study she conducted with a natural substance is found in the brassicae vegetable family. If you do not know what's in the brassicae family, that would be called cabbage and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, bok choy. I know you're probably flipping off the radio right now and running to the store to get those, aren't you? As a cancer specialist, and that's what I like about this, she's a cancer specialist. As a cancer specialist at the University of South Dakota Medical Center in Sioux Valley Hospital, Dr. Maria Bell she presented her findings to a meeting of the American College for the Advancement of Medicine in Dallas, Texas. See, that's close to us. Some of the 250 physician attendees described her findings as stunning and a breakthrough. Eating the vegetables I just told you about, that's going to be cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, kale. Eating the vegetables I just mentioned, or supplementing with the natural substance indole-3-carbinol, sometimes it's called I3C, reduces cancer risk. Now, if you're a man, you're not going to get cervical cancer because you don't have a cervix. But you know what you may have in your life? You may have a mother. You may have a sister. You have a wife. You have a daughter, a niece. Nephews don't have cervixes, neither do uncles. But aunts do. And nieces do. Cousins do, if they're a female. I just find this so fascinating. Bell's group used indole-3-carbinol that came from broccoli to reverse cervical cancer. When I say reverse, what do you think that means? Well, it means this. It means cancer cells are thriving and growing. They are doing what they want to do. They're growing, not in your best interest. The word reverse means halt, stop, turn it around. This right here, Bell's group used indole-3-carbinol from broccoli to reverse cervical cancer. The study involved 30 women with stage 2 or 3 cervical cancer, 10 of whom were given placebos. 10 were given the indole-3-carbinol that came from the broccoli. I'm just using broccoli, but it's also cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and asparagus, stuff like that. They were given a dose of 200 milligrams a day, and 10 were given 400 milligrams a day. The study lasted only 12 weeks. That means 3 months. That's not very long. Yet there was a complete regression in 4 out of 8 women in the 200 milligram treatment group, and 4 of 9 in the 400, which statistically, that doesn't sound like there's much of a difference. None of the placebo group had a complete regression in the 12-week period. That's just 12 weeks. What would happen, folks, if you decided to do something about your health? Maybe you could look into foods like cabbage. All right. What I want to do now, let me think about this for a second. I've got a bunch of stuff on my plate, but I realize somebody's been trying to call. So let's go ahead and take a few phone calls. If you want to call me on the air right now and ask me a question, please feel free to do so. Let me give you the number of the station here, 903-586-5257. My request to you would be that you turn your radio off all the way at the moment you call. I don't care if you have it on up until the phone call, but if you leave your radio on when you call, there's going to be a high-pitched squeal here. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm on my way working, so I guess I'm up and good.
Well, which part of the world are you going to today?
Canton,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, be careful on I-20, because that's always the location where I see all the car wrecks.
No, we're on 64. I'm going the easy way.
You know, the country route's the way to go, isn't it?
You've got that right, my friend.
Of course, that's a little bit different. You may have to watch out for deer running in front of you.
Yes, exactly. I don't have an issue, but one of my best friends has a bulge at C7 that's like a knife going through.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do?
Do you know the direction of the bulge?
No, I do not.
Well, can I just...
I know that if he puts his left arm over his head, he gets a certain percentage of relief.
Oh, really? Okay, well...
Does that help?
Oh, yes. He's got... That bulge is pinching the nerve, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the opposite of pulling his arm down really hard to make it bulge more. Well, there's one thing that we may try doing to see if it gives great relief, and it's just a very old technique. It's just called cervical or neck traction. Now, okay. I used to, sometimes when I would go in the old time, you know, pharmacies, uh-huh. I can tell you the one I'm thinking of. It's no longer in existence, but it's here in Jacksonville. It was called Discount City.
Yeah.
And, of course, anybody that's ever been in there, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I sure do miss that store, but it's gone. But they used to sell these cervical neck traction units, and sometimes they're called over-the-door neck traction.
I've got a traction device.
Oh, well, you can loan it to your buddy then, and it may start to give relief very, very, very quickly.
Okay.
Another technique that's been used is having a friend just kind of put a towel behind the back of the neck and gently pull long ways like you're... You
I
know,
can do that.
But if the head comes falling off, that's a clue that you pulled too hard.
He lives on a farm. There's a lot of land to bury him in later.
I didn't see that coming, but we're just going to go right past that and go on to the next point. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it. The other thing that I would do if it were me...
Yeah.
Is I would probably really, really hit that area pretty good with some ice therapy. So
okay,
I realize
what about
that
massage therapy around the shoulder blade.
Oh, of course, anything
shoulder
to
area to get those muscles relaxed.
Yes, anything that relieves that ropey nut up tension and spasms that he has can give him relief. And I know this is an oversimplification, but sometimes people have so much tension because of the pain inflammation, they just cannot break the cycle. And so if I can momentarily, I'm going to try to... Okay, this is not to sabotage your friend, because I may push it to the limit of where he may have maybe a touch of loose stool or diarrhea, but that's not to sabotage him.
Right.
That's to help him. But I think we need to push magnesium therapy.
Magnesium, okay.
Okay, magnesium, but I would almost try to keep adding magnesium to where your friend says, you know what, I think I need to go to the bathroom again. Just right up to the limit, because magnesium plays a huge role in helping to mend a disc, if you ask me.
Okay, so magnesium therapy, massage therapy, ice.
Yeah, the other
a lot of relief if he lays on a hard, you know, on the hard floor.
Yeah, and that's that. Kind of praise. Yeah, so do that. There's another substance that I think can be very, very beneficial when there's been a breakdown of the integrity of the collagen tissue, and that's what discs are made of. They're made of collagen.
Okay.
And some people just do not like the idea of this. I am not one of those. I tend to have good positive results and feelings, but I'm a huge fan of taking supplemental collagen if you have a bulging disc.
Okay.
I mean, your friend has nothing to lose by trying it, and the collagen is going to come from beef parts.
Okay. Right.
So if you want to get collagen, there's several kinds out there. I mean, you can go into the store, you can buy Knox gelatin, you can buy kosher gelatin. That can work. You can get hydrolyzed collagen. All those can be very, very good, but collagen is certainly what I would look at, because we have one chance to mend and heal this properly. And so the other thing that I'd be crazy if I didn't recommend, curcumin or turmeric.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. That was the next thing I was going to ask.
Well, I mean, it has been well studied that if somebody has damage to either cartilage or ligament or tendon, that can be a home run for them.
Okay, so turmeric, collagen, and what was the other?
Well, I mentioned magnesium, because I probably could add this also. Vitamin C plays an extremely valuable role in making sure tissues are mending back together.
Okay.
So the traction, that can be a godsend for him. It really can.
Okay. What about... chiropractic adjustment?
That can be really good also. It's like anything else.
I know he's got a chiropractor in Tyler.
Well, you've got to make... Well, and I'm not telling the chiropractor how to do their job. But what you have
right.
to do is you have to make sure... Because if there's a bulging disc in a certain location, you can either make them worse or you can make them better. But the chiropractor would know which one's which.
Right. And he has access to the MRI, so...
Yeah, well, there you go. But he gets relief when he puts his hand on top of his head, right?
Yeah, when he puts his left hand, oh, you know, bends the elbow up over his head.
Well, he just needs to do that in church service tomorrow. Instead of raising his hands. Yeah,
trust
he just needs
he
to
will.
just keep rubbing his head like he's thinking deeply. Just, you know, fingers on the forehead. That way it won't look too suspicious that he's trying to relieve nerve pain.
Or try and scratch his right cheek.
That's right. Reach all the way over and around and touch that right cheek. That's a good plan. I like it.
There you go. So that's basically what my concern is today. I'll get back with them, and I'm going to do massage therapy on them this afternoon anyhow. So.
Hey, what a good friend you are. Good job.
All right. And thank you for the info.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks a whole bunch. I hope you have a safe trip to Canton today.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. And that'll get you right in. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
How do you recommend treating acid reflux?
Well, the first thing that pops in my mind is stop putting foods in the stomach that cause back pressure and inflammation of that cardiac sphincter area. So I would say the worst cases of reflux I've ever seen before, I've always found what's called a hiatal hernia. That just means the upper chamber of the stomach, at least part of it, might be bulging up through that opening or the hiatus area of the diaphragm. And that's just a recipe for misery with the capital M. I would not want that. But I've seen, and I know I'm an oversimplifier, but I've seen the worst cases if they do not eat wheat. And when I say wheat, I'm not referring to the type of wheat that Abraham and Sarah ate. I'm certain that's probably great for you, but it's the modern genetically modified wheat. It has high concentrations of a kind of a starch called amylopectin A. And man, does that generate inflammation in the stomach. And so as people age sometimes, they develop a little bit of a weakness. But I would say strict avoidance of wheat could probably take care of 80% of the real severe cases without medication.
And how long will it take for that to take effect? We've been doing, my wife and I have been doing the keto diet pretty strict since the 1st of December.
Okay.
And I'm
you still have it?
A lot, yes.
Well, does she have it?
No, she's never had it.
Well, sometimes it's real. Okay, sometimes this is more simple than the way I'm describing it over the radio. But this is the radio. It's not like I can put my hand through the microphone. But what I would do is I would put firm pressure on the very inferior tip of your xiphoid process. The xiphoid, if you want to call it a piece of cartilage on the end of your breastbone, that's fine by me. If you want to call it a bone at the tip of the sternum, that's fine too. But if I push from inferior to superior into that inferior tip of the xiphoid, and that's tender, I always think hiatal hernia. So that's the area that I test. And sometimes, all I do, and there's about, can I say 6 to 8 different techniques that have been employed or used, but I usually just take my fingers and just hook the top of the stomach while a person's laying on their back, and I try to get into sync with their breathing. And so when they breathe in and blow out, when they blow out, the diaphragm is going up back toward the chest, and I'm taking my fingers and hooking the stomach. I'm trying to pull it back down. And I think I had about 3 cases 1 week. This is about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's like every other day I'm going, really? The same type of symptoms coming in the door again? But in these cases, I remember one lady, I think I had to pull or tug on it, gently of course, about, I'm going to say about 12 times, and then I heard this little, it just like sucked right back into place. And she looked at me funny. I said, did you feel that? And she goes, oh yeah. And so when I touched the xiphoid again, it wasn't tender at all, and all her symptoms went away. It's been my experience. That can be a very, very valuable technique. Now, I know you're probably upset about that because that does not require a massive pharmaceutical prescription, but I have to tell you the truth. And you're probably also upset because it's not quite as toxic as you'd hope for because, you know, it's just fingers.
Yeah.
But that's one technique. If you're still having trouble, we have to try that. The other thing I'd have you do, and you just take whatever I'm saying however you want, but we have to heal that area. And if you have a thorn in the flesh, meaning your stomach's bulging through your diaphragm, That's a solution. You got to pull it back down in place. And so sometimes I can use one small apple a day to get the job done, as in eating an apple.
Yeah.
What's your favorite apple? Or what are your favorite apples?
Red Delicious, Golden Delicious.
I'm on board.
Yeah, those are probably my two favorites.
Have you tried the Pink Ladies?
No.
Have you tried the Honey Crisp?
I may have.
You know,
that sounds familiar, but if so, only once.
I can tell you what my favorite is. Any apple variety that has a little bit of tartness to it, there's just something about tart that I like. I didn't say sweet tarts. I'm talking about apples that are tart. But if you eat an apple a day, it may give you the right blend of polyphenols and nutrients to help rid the inflammation in that area. Of course, you're probably thinking, I'm so old, I came up with the phrase, an apple a day keeps indigestion away. I didn't do that. No. But if you eat an apple a day, that can help move you in the right direction. There's other techniques also, but those are the first things that I would employ. And I'm a huge fan of what's called magnesium, especially. I have discovered that if a person's on a ketogenic diet, that may be, hands down, the most important element or nutrient to consume.
Okay.
Is magnesium.
Well, I'm diabetic. I've been diabetic for almost 25 years and started this ketogenic diet right at the end of November, 1st of December. I cheated a little bit over the holidays, but not bad.
I'm proud of you, man.
But I have reduced my daily insulin intake from about 81 units a day down to 47 already so far.
What? Excuse me? You almost cut your insulin in half?
Almost.
Whoa! Look at you. Good job, man.
I'm not
man.
Where I want to be, but I am.
Yeah, but aren't you moving in the right direction in a short period of time?
And I'm extremely excited about it.
I mean, you're really just talking about a month and a half, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, I like it.
Me too.
Do you have any... what's your method for determining if you're in ketosis?
I have not bought the keto strips.
Well, those aren't going to work for you anyway.
Okay.
There's a device
I'm basically just counting my carbs.
Well, the thing of it is, if you're losing weight and you're seeing your blood sugar go down, that means you're winning.
Well, my weight from what is it, 5, 6, 7 weeks now that we've been doing this, I've only lost 5 pounds.
Well, you're not in ketosis then.
I didn't really figure I was quite.
Well, no, and believe me, I'm your friend. I'm not trying to be critical of you. There's a company in Sweden, or this product is from Sweden, and it's not called Volvo. It's a device called Ketonix, Ketonix, as in X-ray.
Yeah.
But this device to me, and I have a couple of patients that have them. But I've seen the little videos on YouTube, and one video the other day I looked at it was like 60 minutes long, and I thought to myself, that's a long time to have a person talk about one device. I don't think I can watch that. I had to watch the 2-minute video.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think I can get it. But anyway, it's a very interesting device. It has a cable with a USB port on it. You just plug it in the computer, or you get an adapter and plug it in the cigarette lighter of the car, or they're not called cigarette lighters now, are they? They call adapters anyway. But you can plug it in, and the machine starts the process of calibrating to the atmosphere it's in. But once it's a solid blue ring, you're good to go, and all you do is breathe into it. Now, I realize this is a very controversial topic, meaning people that are not for this, they're definitely against it, but I'm not one of those people because I see this as a extremely viable technique that could save a whole lot of lives and reverse diabetes. But this device, I think from Sweden, they charge about $100 for it, which I know that's money, but it may get you out of diabetes, buddy. But I think they charge about $25 to ship it overseas from Sweden. You know how those Swedes are. They don't want to ship it low-class mail. They want everything top of the line.
Yeah.
My son drives a Volvo car. I think the thing's bulletproof. Sweden, way to go, man.
Yeah.
But that device, it's got a color scale on there. It'll tell you if you're all the way into ketosis. And see, it's very, very interesting because it may not be what you think, and that might be a tool that you may help you go from point A to point Z in a short period of time.
Yeah, okay.
So,
okay.
Anyway, I mean, is it practical for you to go to the doctor and have, excuse me, do you really, every time you want to check to see if you're producing ketone bodies, is go to the doctor for a blood test and say, doctor, could you measure my beta-hydroxybutyrate levels right now? I want to find out where they are.
I don't want to go back to my doctor at all because she's going to have an absolute duck when I tell her that I'm not taking my statin drug and I haven't taken it since about August.
What's wrong with you? Why are you so rebellious?
She is just absolutely going to flip out.
Well, you need to reevaluate your life. Your job is to please everybody else and put yourself last.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you're the only one. This is the body that God gave you, and you have the sole responsibility to do with it as you feel like, you know, He wants you to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm proud of you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Who does he think he is, that rebellious human being? I am going to give you my own personal opinion. It's probably, I'm going to try to tone it down because sometimes I stop myself from saying what I really want, so I'll let you interpret that however you want. But I've heard a lot of stories over the years, and I'm going to give you a simple suggestion. The moment you have symptoms you think are your body's not in great working order, you may want to start improving your health and not ignoring it. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm asking a question about apple cider vinegar.
Yes, sir.
I was reading about it lowers blood pressure and helps lower your sugar level.
Yeah, and they've actually done studies, and the one that I'm familiar with is they had people that had type 2 diabetes.
Right.
I don't think there were any type 1s in this study, but type 2, which is adult onset, what they had them do was take a little bit of apple cider vinegar prior to their meals.
Okay.
And when they did it that way, if they took it before, like if you made just a little concoction where you just took a shot of vinegar with water prior to the meal, it easily lowered blood sugar by 20-30%, no problem. And that's... Okay. That's better than a lot of the medications they use to lower blood sugar, right?
That's not true. Is there any side effect to it, though?
Yeah, it's called good health.
I understand that.
No. If somebody had like a, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't be joking that way. If somebody had like a bleeding ulcer in their esophagus, the apple cider vinegar would be called, man, that kind of burns going down. But that'd be about the only time that I ever see it problematic. I have had, I think I saw one person last year that was literally overdoing the apple cider vinegar. When I say overdoing it, I mean they were at about 2 cups a day, which I felt like that was a little bit much, but they started developing arthritis, inflammation of their fingers. And so when I examined them, that's the only thing I could find is it was just too much vinegar, and they just backed off of it, and their hand arthritis went away.
Oh, that's good to hear then.
So, anyway.
So, I'd give it a try then.
Yeah, please do. Try it prior to the meal and tell me if several things happen. Number one, see if you see your blood sugar start to come down lower. Number two, see if you just feel like your digestive tract is working better. That would be impressive to me. If you had less bloating, less fullness, if your meals are processed more efficiently. Okay. And I know you know what that means because if you ate at the end of the day and you woke up at 3 a.m. going, oh, my goodness, what did I eat? It's still in my stomach. It's not moving. That's called gastroparesis, where it's just stuck in there. But vinegar can help fix all those things.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Yes, thank you for your call. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mike. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, ma'am?
Doing pretty good. I just had a couple of quick questions. First off, ketosis. I heard you talking to a guy previously about that, and I was just wondering people act like it's the end-all, be-all. You have to have carbohydrates in the morning, and I know that once you get out of ketosis, it takes a while to get back. And I didn't know...
It really doesn't. I mean, once your body figures out the pathway, you can go back and forth in 24 hours, no problem.
Well, do you feel like it's really necessary to take in carbohydrates?
Yeah, a little bit. I do.
Okay. And then...
Well, can I tell you why I'm saying that, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
I know this is just like too basic stuff, but I'm going to cover it anyway. Mother's breast milk is 54% pure fat. It has 7% protein, 39% carbohydrates. So that would be my faith in God's plan, that he knows what he's doing in providing nutrition for babies. And when a baby is born, it only takes about maybe 8 to 12 hours to capture their urine and find out that they're already in ketosis. And ketosis means that the dominant calorie that they're burning is fat. And so when you convert fat into energy, you produce ketone bodies, which this may come as a shock to people. 12 servings of grains a day by the American Heart Association is probably going to do one thing. It's going to cause multiple heart attacks and death. It's not going to heal anybody's heart. It's just nuts. But anyway, but I like the idea that carbohydrates or foods that contain carbohydrates are very rich in nutrients. I mean, for example, the things that I mentioned earlier that reverse cervical cancer, they're called cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale. Those right there are just powerhouses of nutrients. And I think that we need carbohydrates. We just don't need near as much as the mega doses that people are consuming day in, day out.
So do you recommend getting them through fruits and vegetables as opposed to grains of any kind?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, let's go backwards.
Okay.
If I took the last couple of callers on the radio that had issues with either diabetes or some type of chronic health condition, their body's already kind of gone past the point of no return. Unless you do something, you're not going to keep eating Twinkies every day and have your diabetes disappear and go away. I know that's a shock to people.
Right.
But so for those people, if they're going to dig themselves out of this ditch and turn it around and have some healing and rejuvenation, then yes, they will have to restrict carbohydrate intake if they want to see a change. Now, you tell me, this is your pop quiz today. If somebody weighs 285 pounds... and they lose 90 pounds and get to 195, do you think that would probably help every organ system in their body, or do you think that would make them worse?
I think it would probably help a little bit.
Yeah, and so a lot. Yeah, you're right. Maybe even a whole lot.
Right.
But and there's a lot of ways to do that. But I'm into ways that work consistently well for everybody. And so if babies are eating a ketogenic diet, meaning mother's breast milk, I just got to believe that's like a pretty safe format. I mean, that's really hard to argue against.
Well, I have another question, though. They have these things out now called Insta-ketones, and it seems to be the new fad.
Oh, yeah.
And
it is.
Well, I seen a thing yesterday where Julian's Bakery, that they do paleo stuff for the most part, and I seen they were putting them out, and I was wondering what your opinion was on this.
Well, in the first place, I don't know what they're using, but it's probably going to be, can you cut me some slack here? There's probably a supplement company that's probably taking ketones and getting them in powder form so they're easy to mix and blend in with the things that can be baked or cooked.
Okay.
So, like, if it was a protein powder, they're finding it. I mean, you don't just say, okay, we're stuck here on Gilligan's Island, grab some coconuts, we're going to cook them and get the oil from them. They're finding a way to kind of get these ketones in a dry powder form, which I like all that stuff, but still, what I'm probably most enamored by is real food. And so, you've got radical foods called butter. You have coconut oil. You have macadamia nut oil. You have coconut milk. And all those things are real. They're unadulterated. And so I think the verdict is still out on that. There's a lot of people that are experimenting with those, but then again, they're probably going to promote those because that means more cash in their pocket for their patents.
Right.
Anyway, that's just an idea.
I've noticed that I can't seem to really do hardly anything that's synthetic or in process because it's crazy. For a long time, we thought we were all highly allergic to corn in my family, and come to find out, we're not allergic to corn. were just allergic to the Roundup, but they're spraying on it when they genetically modified.
Oh, small detail there. Just that toxic, death-causing pesticide. Great.
That's it. Yeah, we're not really allergic to the vegetables. Because we had, there was some Alvarito street bread that you had told us that we could use, and we had been using that for a while. And I noticed that it was wheat as well, but it didn't seem to have a reaction.
Well, it's the heirloom wheat, yeah.
Yes, everything is that way, and as long as it's non-GMO, we tend to be okay. So just so much going out. Well, that corn is in citric acid and maltodextrin.
Everywhere. I just think there's huge amounts of information in what you're saying. You're just saying it very simple, where everybody can understand. If I have non-GMO, non-Roundup corn, I'm fine.
Right.
I love your story. Great.
Well, I just really, people just don't understand what's happening to this stuff, and people keep putting their kids on Ritalin and everything, and I think the root of the problem really is it's all this stuff we're doing to this high fructose corn syrup we're taking in every aspect of our lives. So,
I wonder, how long is it going to take us to figure this out?
I don't know. I think that's really, they say the inflammation is the root of cancer. Well, I think the root of the inflammation is really all of the Roundup. But
don't you feel like you're being a little bit disrespectful to Monsanto by saying that?
I used to feel bad about it, but after we watched that OMG GMO, my kids, they won't even go out to eat anymore. So,
does your husband say that you might be a little bit rebellious toward the companies that are producing genetically modified corn and grains and Roundup?
Well, he had some things to say about me to his family members and stuff, because it was like a running joke. But then he went out of town to work, and he was in his little non-GMO environment. Mm-hmm. He said his body can't take Roundup.
Okay, so his wife is like a saint now.
That's it. I think he's running around telling people too.
He calls you Florence Nightingale, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, look,
we appreciate everything you're doing.
You know what? He should go out of his way to bow down and call you the most wonderful wife of all time today, shouldn't he?
He does, because we have to mail him stuff just so he can make it out there.
Well, you know what? If I had my way, he would stop what he's doing. He would go outside right now and wash your car. Oh, wait, it's raining. Never mind.
You got out of it again. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you a whole bunch. I really appreciate your call. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's what you have to do, folks. If you're not restoring your health and you feel horrible, if you don't stop putting genetically modified Roundup ready laced pesticide burdened stuff in your body, come on, what do you expect? I mean, is that not toxic, or is it safe? I still remember the video where one of the major, and forgive me, I don't remember the guy's title, but he was an employee or spokesperson of Monsanto or the Roundup company, and he was on a French television program. And he was trying to explain to the host that Roundup was so safe and so non-toxic that you could just drink a glass of it like you could water, and I can't believe what the guy did. Brilliant. He said, really? So you're telling all my audience that Roundup is just as safe as a glass of water? He said, yes, that's right. This is a scientist talking. He said, well, I have some Roundup right here. And he reaches behind the chair where it couldn't be seen, pours it in a glass, and hands it to him. He said, here, I want you to drink it. Well, you already know what happened. The guy became so flustered, the scientist for Roundup, by the way, became so flustered and so enraged that he marched off. Hey, of course, he's not stupid. He didn't any more drink that than what you and I would. It is not safe. Sometimes when we drive to Florida, you see those crop dusters. And I mean crop dusters. They start their descent, and it's almost like they start spraying, they were going to spray the cars on the highway too, but all those crops, I don't even know all the crops they plant along I-20 across Louisiana. They're pretty, if you ask me. But I sure don't want to be anywhere around when they're spraying Roundup, do you? If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, the phone line is open at 903-586-5257. Okay. If nobody calls, let me go on to my next topic here. I'm telling you, you just don't even know what the potential is. Of course, it can be all put to the test. I realize this could be called quackery, but maybe just maybe, if you have symptoms, and this is what this means, if cells and tissues in your body break down at a faster rate than what you're able to, than what your body is able to respond to and repair, then you're going to have symptoms. Does that make sense? When cells and tissues become damaged or inflamed or break down faster than what you can repair them, that's where you have symptoms. So you tell me right now, do you have symptoms, or do you feel like a million bucks, you're perfect in every way? So the correct equation is, tissues are in need of repair, cells are in need of repair, and your body can respond by repairing them. That's called healing. That's called rejuvenation. That's called repairing. You have no symptoms when that equation works right. But if your body breaks down faster than what you can repair it, those are symptoms, and that's disease. I almost said dis-ease, which is really where that word comes from. Now, enter Dr. Jaffe's definition of inflammation. Two words, repair deficit. That's what inflammation is. It's a repair deficit. Okay. This is not going to take long right here. Let me see. Okay. Each of the following conditions is associated with cellular magnesium deficiency. Okay. So in light of what I just said, getting you up to speed, folks. So each of the following conditions is associated with cellular magnesium deficiency. And what this really means is, you're lacking the very thing that your body requires to make repairs. And without this substance called magnesium, you have a repair deficit, thus inflammation. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Okay. Here are the conditions that you see with a magnesium deficiency. I am presenting this for your consideration this morning. Cardiovascular disease. Well, that's only the number one cause of death in America right now. Just number one. Dying, and it's related to a heart not working right. Okay. How about osteoporosis? You mean that's what you're going to see if you have a magnesium deficiency? What's another way of saying cardiovascular disease? It is a repair deficit of the heart or the circulatory system. Well, what about osteoporosis? Well, if you don't get enough magnesium, guess what? Your bones cannot repair themselves. Now, you can call this my opinion, but I think I'm pretty hardcore about looking at information, and I like to use what works. And it's fun to give good recommendations. That's pleasure for me. But magnesium may end up being just a whole lot more important than calcium if you're trying to repair your bones. So either your bones are in good working order, they are in good repair, or they are not. So osteoporosis is a cellular magnesium deficiency. You ever heard of hypertension? You're probably thinking I'm going in circles because I just mentioned the cardiovascular system, but you know what they used to use years ago? I think they did this up into the 1990s, so if you're an ER nurse or doctor that used to run the ER and, you know, whatever hospital you were in, they used to, if they felt like somebody had come in with a stroke, they'd give them intravenous magnesium. Now, they have drugs like Xarelto and Eliquis and Plavix and just Coumadin, Warfarin, or they have all these drugs that are favored, and I wondered to myself, well, are they superior to magnesium? Well, no. Magnesium's actually dirt cheap. I was walking through the aisle at the store the other day. Begins with a W. And since I'm in Jacksonville, I think we can guess which store that is. But they had these huge bags of Epsom salt, which is magnesium. It says, great to sprinkle on your garden, or great for your plants, great for a foot bath, or anyway, it's magnesium. Hypertension, that's high blood pressure. insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. That's why I told the gentleman earlier that maybe one of the most critical minerals of all time, making sure that you can lose weight, has got to be magnesium. Or if you're trying to reverse the trend of diabetes. You tell me, if you go to the doctor and you have diabetes, what is the focus of the visit? Mrs. Jones, I am glad you're here today. I am your doctor, and I am completely devoted to making sure that we reverse this diabetes, get you out of it. So we're only going to use these drugs short term until you can get a good handle on your diet and your exercise and supplementation and, you know, right thinking, whatever you want to say. So this is my plan for you. This is what I want to do dietarily. This is what I want to do with exercise and supplements. But I really expect you to reverse the diabetes. And no, they don't do that. Maybe some do, but I ask just about everyone. Okay, you have diabetes and you don't want to have it, right? Yes, sir, Dr. Morgan. What did your physician tell you to reverse that? I needed more insulin? Anyway, this one gets me right here also. Well, I'm jumping about two conditions ahead. Each of the following conditions is associated with cellular magnesium deficiency. I'll let you interpret what that really means. But there's a condition called asthma. But prominently, it has the word inflammation listed. Maybe that's why I'm giving the definition of inflammation. It's a repair deficit. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you have physical pain without inflammation? Probably not. Do we want to resolve that inflammation? Yes. How do we do that? Well, we get the body to be in good repair. And so it's saying here the body is not in good repair when you're deficient in magnesium. Asthma. I'm probably thinking about covering this next one too quickly, but I probably shouldn't. But if I say chronic stress, you know whether or not you have chronic stress. If you tell me that every day you are happy, 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 or you really deal with a lot of stress all the time, or you feel stressed, I'll believe you, whatever you say. The other one really gets my attention, colorectal cancer. I've seen quite a few cases of colon cancer and rectal cancer, and I don't think this is just my interpretation, but if a year earlier you have your attention drawn to your rectal area and you think something's awry, I think that's probably the time to take the strongest possible steps to help yourself. I don't think it's wise to wait a year before you take real action on that, okay? Depression, yep. Those that have depression, it's been shown they have very low intracellular magnesium levels. Boy, I almost lost track of time there, looking at the clock and the card here. Here we go. It says here that migraine headaches and tension headaches, those are also quite classic conditions where you'd see low magnesium. So what's the solution here? Maybe you require more magnesium than what you're currently getting. Maybe you need to eat a little bit differently. I can tell you what sucks magnesium out of the body. Sugar does. If you ever look at the label of a soft drink and it says, if it says phosphoric acid, man, that stuff will suck the magnesium right out of you. And so if you're losing, if magnesium's going through you like a sieve, that's going to be kind of hard to correct the rest of these. You are listening to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week, Lord willing.